Giving me pleasure to introduce our brother Marvin as our speaker this morning. We all know him. And I know that he appreciates your silent prayers, your kind attention as he brings us the message this morning, Brother Marvin.
Thank you, David. We will commence here by starting in the book of Proverbs. A lot of wisdom there in that book. Proverbs, the 16th chapter. We'll start here with verse 2 and read a few verses. It says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And so it is in the hearts of man, in their hearts, they're generally always pure before the Lord. But we are to walk humbly before the Lord and be circumspectly in our hearts with the Lord. Our thoughts will be established by the Spirit of the Lord if we walk in paths as we should, and we can have His Spirit with us to direct and guide us. But we got to be following Him and His ways. I'd like to go over in the book of 2 Corinthians in the New Testament side. In the 4th chapter, read here a little on beginning with the 3rd verse in the 4th chapter, 2 Corinthians. "But if our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake." And so, you know, it is true. The people of the world, their eyes are blinded, just like here with Paul. The people there, you know, they were worshiping idols and other things, and their eyes were blinded to the gospel. Some accepted it, but the majority did not. We have a parallel course here, and today, you know, the people of the world as a whole have not accepted the Lord, and they go on in their own ways, blinded in their minds to the truth of the gospel. But even the Lord's people sometimes can be blinded to the ways of the Lord and what they should do. But here, Paul is speaking to the people, the Corinthians, that many of the people's minds become darkened. They're blind. They hear, but they don't hear. They see, but yet they don't see. They don't comprehend those things that they should. And Paul's trying to tell them here that that is so. But it's easy to get off on the wrong path there. I'd like to go over here in the Book of Mormon on page 468 and read here a little bit. That's on page 468, verse 29. I'd read, starting with verse 29 here. And it come to pass that as many as would not hearken to the words of Helaman and his brethren were gathered together against the brethren. And now, behold, they were exceeding wroth, insomuch that they were determined to slay them. You know, people come up pretty hard against the Lord and his ways. The adversary is busy at all times, like he is today. Here he's working upon the people, and they're rejecting the word of God that Helaman and his brethren has brought among them, and they don't like the words of the Lord at all. Now, you know, they're offensive to him because of the wrong heart that they have. Verse 31, now the leader of those which were wroth against their brethren was a large and a strong man, and his name was Amalekiah. And Amalekiah was desirous to be a king, and those people which were wroth were also desirous that he should be their king, and they were the greater part of them, the Lord judges of the land, and they were seeking for power. And so, you know, we run into the situation of greed here, you know, to be elevated and to be in command and all of that. And so they're seeking that which is wrong because they're rejecting the words of the Lord that has been brought to them. They seek for glory, not the glory of the Lord. And so they're angry at their brothers. Verse 34, thus they were led away by Amalekiah to dissension, notwithstanding the preaching of Helaman and his brethren, yea, notwithstanding their exceeding great care over the church, for they were high priests over the church. And so here these Helaman and them are preaching to the people, but they're not liking what they're hearing, that they need to come to the Lord and their Savior, Jesus Christ. They need to remove the pride out of their hearts. They need to remove out of their hearts that glory and to walk over their brothers and sisters. Yes, everybody. And so, but you know, they're going on in their ways, and they're rejecting the Lord, and their minds are blinded. Yes, their minds, they do comprehend some things, but they do not comprehend that which is right. And because their hearts are not where they should be. There is pride within their beings. And you know, pride leads people away. And you know, they are clean in their own eyes, as Proverbs says, man is. And so they are contrary and going along. Well, they're very happy. Satan is very happy, but the Lord is not happy in this sense at all. And they do. Verse 35, and there were many in the church which believed in the flattering words of Amalekiah. Therefore, they dissented even from the church. You know, they were not following the words of God. They were not searching the scriptures to see what they were. They were not humble before the Lord as they should be, but they were prideful people. And so they rejected the word of the Lord and that which had been given to them. And they went on and in their blindness of mind and followed Amalekiah in that which they were doing. You know, we run into that at all times. You know, Paul just spoke of it. Their minds were blind. Today, we're running into the same situation as this. They're going on in their own ways instead of the ways of the Lord. The Lord is not pleasing to this group of people at all. And so they're turning their backs upon the Lord. now on verse 37 here. And thus we see how quick the children of men do forget the Lord their God, yea, how quick to do iniquity and to be led away by the evil one, yea. And we also see the great wickedness one very wicked man can cause to come to take place among the children of men. And that's true, you know. These things happen. For some reason or another, the adversary gets into the hearts of people and leads them astray into that which they should not. Their eyes are blinded. And we have to be careful, that too, that we don't become blinded as well to things that are not of the Lord. We need to search the Scriptures. We need to search the Scriptures constantly and seek the Lord out in prayer that He will touch our hearts and soften them and give us understanding of those Scriptures, that we can understand them. We run into that constantly. I see it even yet today. Yea, we see that Amalickiah, because he was a man of cunning devices and a man of many flattering words, that he led away the hearts of many people to do wickedly. Yea, and to seek to destroy the church of God and destroy the foundation of liberty which God had granted unto them, or which blessing the God had sent upon the face of the Lamb for the righteous sake. And so this is always has been, you know, the Lord has blessed His people. He wants there to be that happiness, that peace, and that contentment. But, you know, that is in opposition to what Satan wants. But the Lord wants us to follow Him. He has given us the Scriptures to search them, to seek out the truth therein, to see, are we going to follow our Lord or are we going to follow the adversary? Of course, you know, we're not following the adversary. We want our own desires. Pride puffs up people, as it reads there in Proverbs, you know, everybody's clean in their own eyes. And so they don't see that we don't have a right to do whatever we want. Now, the laws of the Lord are not always that good to some people. But you know, the Lord put those laws there for our welfare and guidance. You know, the Lord says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me not, you will not keep my commandments. And that's what they're doing here, is not keeping the commandments of God that Helaman and his brother had gone among them to preach, and they had rejected it. It's a common situation, as Paul runs into there many times. And, you know, he suffered at the hands of the legalist Jews that would not accept Christ at all or the teachings of those things. It's like the Messianic Jews today, you know. They believe in the Lord and in Jesus Christ and that, but, you know, they still follow some of the Mosaic law. They can't get away from that. Their eyes are blinded is what it is. And, you know, we have to be careful that our eyes don't become blinded as well and hard against that which is, we should. I'd like to go back into Proverbs here and read in the 15th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. And so, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but He loveth him that falleth after righteousness. And so it is, you know, the Lord loves those that will seek him out, that will humbly come to him and try to follow what he has given. It's easy sometimes because of the desires of our heart to be led astray. You know, the Lord loves those that will seek him out in prayer and guidance. Very easy to be led astray in ways that we sometimes get blinded on. And it's easy. We have many references where people are blindsided for some reason or another. It's a human trait, I guess, because we don't always walk humbly before the Lord as we should. I'd like to go over here in the Book of Mormon on page 201, and we will read some more here and see how easy it is to go our own way. On page 201, I'll begin with verse 19. Behold, I will speak unto you somewhat concerning Messiah, which was made king over the land of Zarahemla. For behold, he being warned of the Lord that he should flee out of the land of Nephi, and as many as would hearken unto the voice of the Lord should also depart out of the land with him into the wilderness. Come to pass that he did according to the Lord had commanded him. And they departed out of the land into the wilderness, as many as would hearken unto the voice of the Lord, and they were led by many preachings and prophesying. And they were admonishedly continually by the word of God. And they were led by the power of his arm through the wilderness, till they come down into the land which is called the land of Zarahemla. Now here they are, up in their land where Nephi had fled from Laman and Lemuel, and they had been there for some time. But you know, the Lamanites were becoming very numerous, and they were a threat to the Lord's people. And so he leads them out of the land of Nephi, there where they're at, because of the danger of the Lamanites among them. And he brings them down into Zarahemla, where Mulek and his people are at. And they join up there and become and follow after the Lord. I'd like to go over on page 203 here, and I'll begin with verse 48. And read a few verses. And now I would speak somewhat concerning a certain number which went up into the wilderness to return to the land of Nephi. For there was a large number which were desirous to possess the land of their inheritance. Wherefore, they went up into the wilderness, and their leader, being a strong and a mighty man, and a stiff-necked man, therefore he caused a contention among them, and they were all slain, say 50 in the wilderness. And they returned again to the land of Zarahemla. And it come to pass that they also took others to a considerable number and took their journey again into the wilderness. And so, you know, the Lord had commanded them to leave out of there because of the danger of the Lamanites that would destroy him and kill him. And so they were obedient to the Lord, Messiah, and they come on down to the land of Zarahemla. But you know, they forgot the commandments of God. What did they do? They go back up, and they get to fighting among themselves, father against father, son against son, and they destroy everybody but 50. And they return back to Zarahemla again. You know, the Lord was against them and didn't want them to go up there. But they did not want to hear. They did not want to see or understand. You know, pride was in their hearts. You know, they had come down out of the land there, and they had left their homes and the vineyards and all of these things up there, and it was pretty pleasing to them. Yes, they knew that they'd be commanded to leave from up there, but, you know, pride and greed was in their hearts, so they went back up. Well, Zenith, as you know, again was here, and so they go back up, and they make a league with the Lamanites, and then they become slaves to them because of their wickedness. They did not follow the commandments of God. They brought their own problems upon them. They tried to blame the problem over on the king of the Lamanites there, but it wasn't him at all. It was their fault by disobeying God's laws. And that's where we run into problems today. We must follow the Lord in all that he gives us, in his commandments, and obey him. There they were led out by Mosiah, and they come down like they should. But you know, somebody was able, like Amalekiah, to speak to them and encourage them to go, let us go back up. We're going to be all right and all of that. Well, you know, Zenith done not too bad, but you know, he still wasn't following the Lord in all that he should do. But yet he did encourage the people after he got up there to follow and keep the commandments and that. And his son finally took over after he passed away, and they only had more problems. All because they wouldn't follow the Lord. We can look into the early church, the problems that they had back there. They run into these problems because they didn't always want to follow the Lord. The adversary is always busy to stir up trouble. He never passes up any opportunity. He knows your weaknesses better than you do yourself. And so he works upon you as an individual. And he puts those thoughts into their hearts to follow that which is not right. And it was not right for them to go back up. They constantly had dissension among the people that left. You know, we have people that leave for one reason or another in the church today. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord in all things. You know, we always think, well, I'm the greatest there ever was. Who puts those thoughts into a person's mind? Well, it's the adversary that leads people to think of those things, how great they are, when in reality they're only a human being. Without the help of the Lord, they're nothing. Amalekiah here was a good example of that. You know, he thought he was pretty great and wanted to be the king. Well, we run into that in all ages. Somebody wants to be led and be in power. You know, the Jews, after Jerusalem was destroyed, Jeremiah there, you know, he was left, and Gedaliah was destroyed by one of the other followers there, and they went down into Egypt. But you know, they says, ask the Lord and we'll do what the Lord says. Did they do what the Lord said to them? Absolutely not. They rejected the words of the Lord altogether. Says, Jeremiah, you're not speaking what the Lord is. You're speaking the desires of your own heart. They rejected what the Lord said. And the Lord says, I'll bring my vengeance upon you that go into Egypt. They went anyway. Well, that which the Lord spoke happened, and they were destroyed, except for just a few of them, Jeremiah and and some others that he brought back. But you know, it's the same way with Jerusalem. When the people become wicked, the Lord gets tired of it and removes them, just like he did the Jaredites when they turned their backs upon the Lord. He removed them. When they followed him, and he blessed them. And same today, when we follow the ways of the Lord, he blesses us and the church and all of that. So we have to follow what the Lord has given. We need to search the scriptures, humble ourselves, and follow meekly as he would have us to do. I'd like to go back into 2 Corinthians here, in the 5th chapter. Fifth chapter, and begin on the 17th verse of the 5th chapter. Then I'll read a couple of verses here, beginning with 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, he's referring here to basically the Mosaic Law. It's over with. The new gospel is the new thing, and all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And so we are to follow Jesus Christ in all things that he has given. You know, he died upon the cross to break the bands of death, to bring us back into his presence. Without his death, we'd be most miserable of all people, as he says. But to those that will obey him and follow him, he has broken bands of death so that we can come back into his presence and receive of his glory and be with him forever and ever. I'd like to go over in the book of James here and read a little bit. James in the 1st chapter, and I begin here with verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so all good things come from our Lord and Savior. And he is the light of our eyes and our bodies if we follow him as we should. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to raft. You know, raft really is an adversary given by Satan. The raft is. It is not good. Generally, it only brings the worst out in people, is that raft, and they're ready to destroy or do whatever they can. For the raft of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And that's what we're supposed to do, being hearers of the word and doers of the word. We are to be. You know, if we close our ears to some of these things, as people do, they don't follow the Lord as they should. But we got to hear the word. We got to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We got to obey the Lord and keep his commandments as he has given them to us to follow. For they are for our welfare that we can come back into his presence if we want. So I'd like to go back over into the Book of Mormon on page 220 here. And read here a couple of verses, 16 and 17 here. Now, we should remember, and you know, I'm sure we all do, you know, that the Word of God is given in both of these books, though miles apart, continents apart, really, but still the Lord is over all, and so he does give to both of them the same. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them. And that's what we all must do at all times. When we do that which is wrong, is repent of those things. And humble yourselves before God. And this is what we must do. It's a hard thing to always do, is to humble ourselves before the Lord. But that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to walk humbly before him, to be meek and lowly of heart. And ask in sincerity heart that he would forgive you. And that's what we must do. You know, we shouldn't be like the Pharisees of old, that we speak one thing and mean another thing. But we need to seek the Lord out in sincerity of heart in all of these things. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And that's what we must do, is obey the Lord. As we read, we must obey. If we love the Lord, he will bless us with his Spirit to direct and guide us. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is very desirous. You know, we all hunger for it. And we can all have it if we but follow the Lord as we should. And so we hear the word, we must be doers of the word, is what we must be, is to keep his commandments. We're to walk humbly for him at all times and call upon the Lord. Over here on page 221, on verse 21 here, it said, and humble yourselves even to the death of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, in standing steadfast in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. Humble ourselves. Seek him out in prayer. Do we always do that, or do we forget to call upon the Lord? It's an easy thing to overlook. And you know, I don't have time. I slept a little bit late. So I got to run. I don't have time. Makes me think, as I've mentioned before, I was driving down North Avenue. Now it's Patterson. And I was in the right lane, and another vehicle passed me, and I looked over at him, and that individual was busy washing their teeth with a toothbrush. You know, they evidently got up a little late. Didn't have time to wash their teeth at home and that, but going down there, there they were. I'll never forget that. Let us take the time to seek the Lord out in prayer. Do we ever forget? Absolutely we do. We don't have time. You know, the call of the world has a call upon our hearts, and sometimes we yield to those things of the world. So, did it ever happen here? Well, yes, it does. Let me go over here to page 718, and we'll read about that. 718, page number. Verse 38, I'll read. And it came to pass at the end of 4 years that the Lord come again unto the brother Jared, and stood in a cloud and talked with him. And for the space of 3 hours did the Lord talk with the brother of Jared and chastise him because he remembered not to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, how long? You know, he forgot, you know, the pleasures of the world there. And they didn't call upon the name of the Lord as they should. And so we got to call upon the Lord. We got to remember to seek him out. And you know, the brother Jared was really blessed with the Lord. The Lord really blessed him and showed him all those things which few people get to see. Because, you know, he did repent of that. That's what we have to do, is constantly repent of those things we do that is contrary to the will of the Lord. The adversary puts those thoughts within our minds. We're angry at somebody or whatever, or he'll put discord in your heart against your brothers or sisters or somebody in the world. He's a master at putting those thoughts in your minds. He constantly works against the Lord. But you know, we are to follow the Lord in all things. I'd like to go back to page 220 here. And begin on verse 10 here. And also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord. You know, in the conflict that's coming, the Lord says, you must put your trust in me and keep my commandments, and I'll help you and be with you. And that's what we must do, as it says here, that we put our trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments. Yes, diligent in obeying him in all things. And continue in the faith, even unto the end of this life. I mean the life of this mortal body. And that's what we all must do. How long we have. Some people have a long time. Some people have a short time. But whatever it is, we must be faithful to the Lord in keeping his commandments, praying to the Lord for help, in humbleness of heart. We must seek after the Lord in all of these things. Thank you.